Around about middle of the week of unleavened bread, I started thinking of the Feast of Tabernacles. That'd be nice to eat bread again and feast at the feast. Well, what is it, really? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? Is it a chance to fellowship with others of like mind? People we haven't seen in a year or so, or longer? Is it a chance to take a break from the world and its problems that it creates for us? You know, we don't create our own problems by any means. It's the world. Is it an opportunity to gain a deeper understanding of God's great plan for us, His chosen first fruits, and our role in this great future? Yes. Yes to all three. You know, and I was coming up with this, I was thinking of my father-in-law. You know, you ask him if he wants a cookie or a piece of pie. Sure. One of these days I'm going to ask him, you want a pie or a pinch? And if he says, sure, he's going to get both. Well, let's turn over to Deuteronomy 16 and verse 15. That's Deuteronomy 16, 15. 7 days you shall keep the sacred feast to the Lord your God in a place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you surely rejoice. So we do this willingly, and this is our reward. The feast is will be provided for, will be protected, and He'll give us what we need. And one of the greatest joys is the happiness that we receive. It's the happy atmosphere, like Joe said in his prayer. It's wonderful. It's good to be with everyone of like mind. God commands us to be together. And why does He command us to be together? Well, let's take a look in Hebrews. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. See, there again, it's a good thing to be together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And that day is approaching pretty quick. We look around, and things are happening fast, so we really have to be getting ready and encouraging each other. That's a wonderful thing. So, you know, it's a great chance, it's a great opportunity to come away from the world. And we don't want to be conformed to the world. As it says in Romans 12, 2, we can turn over there. Romans 12 and verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, this is one of the other great gifts from the feast, renewing our mind, coming out of this world and ridding our mind of the evil, to refresh ourselves, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're learning what our will is for God in the future. And we don't want to have part of this world. We want this world to be done with. So we've learned the new government that's going to be here. And all the wonderful things that comes with it. In 1 John 2:15, if we turn over there. Oh, 1 John 2:15, sorry. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if we're hoping that this world is turned around and that we don't want it to go, if we desire to be in this world, then the love of the Father is not in us. His plan is nothing to us. And we won't have a future in God's new world if we do love this world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world, which is going away. I like the feast to me is thinking of the millennium, what our role will be in the millennium. And we'll be spirit beings. We'll be able to heal. We'll be able to teach people. And there's going to be a lot of people that needs our help. A real lot. And if you think of us now, sometimes we get stuck and we struggle and you know, we need help. We know what it's like to need help. So there'll be people that are going to be confused and wondering what happened, where'd everyone go? My family members are dead. And we'll be there to help them. We'll be there to comfort them and teach them the new way of life, the new government. If we turn over to Ezekiel 47 and verse 9, let's turn over there. One of the very inspiring sections of the new world from Ezekiel 40 to 47 is the healing waters. I was reading in 47, and let's take a look at 49 or 9, verse 9. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For there will be healed, they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. This healing water, it just, you know, we look at the water now, and it, you know, look at the Willamette River in Oregon's dirty, nasty thing. It's like, I don't think that would heal us. That'll help us to the grave if we want to go there. But healing waters, it sounds so wonderful. You know, one of the things I think about is people with compassion. If you think, you know, people with compassion, if you have compassion and love for each other, which God teaches us, and He commands us to have it, and it's for a reason. It's to help. If we feel this way and we feel bad for people now and we want to heal them, you know, you have that feeling, it's like, oh, it'd be so great to heal that person. It'd be so great to help that person out of the trial. You know, it'd be nice to give that person a new car, a new house. You know, well, we can't do that now because we can't, I don't think, you know, God knows we can't handle that kind of power now. But in the future, we will. The living waters will be flowing from us. We'll be able to heal. It'll be a world where there's no pain, no death, no hurting each other. It'll be full of love. And this is one of the wonderful things to me to look at the feast of what we'll be able to do and what it'll be like. John 7 and verse 38. Let's look at that. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Jesus is, will be like Jesus, so we will be able to heal and create life, he says, with Jesus. So that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Be recreating the world. We will be God beings. And I can't think of anything in this world that I would want more than to not have to worry about waking up with aches and pains or wondering what's tomorrow, or even just looking at the news and seeing all this evil and death and destruction and disease and people hurting. It's awful. I can't wait. You know, the end is going to be really ugly, but the end product is going to be beautiful. We have a great and wonderful opportunity here. It's going to be a challenge getting there, but we have a great opportunity to help a lot of people in the millennium, and just to serve God now is a great opportunity. Are you up for the challenge? I am.